This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Glad you're with us this morning on New Beginnings. And we try to help you in every area of your life, as many as we can in this time that we have together. And helping us is our co-host on New Beginnings, Mr. Joel McKenzie. He turns candidates into contenders. He has a website. It is rippleconnects.com. He has a telephone number, 763-438-1621. His website, rippleconnects.com. Joel McKenzie, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
I am well. I can't believe we're into October, the last quarter of the year 2021. And I'm hoping that by this time next year that we'll have a completely different landscape when it comes to our professional development.
I hope so. It's really tried all of us. And that perseverance to get through is critical here. But certainly we stood side by side with our listeners to make sure that we provide the most timely and relevant career-related topics just so we can each navigate our own unique career paths.
Absolutely. And as we discussed superpowers last week when we were together, it seems to me that maintaining a really level-headed or an even-keel approach to a job search can really help you as you understand what your superpowers are that can propel you. And I'm thinking it might be able to propel you to that next level of your career development.
I believe so. Just having that level head or even keeled approach to a job search is going to pay dividends down the road. And what I mean by that is any job search, new job search, is filled with wins, losses, and draws. And we win some, we lose some, and then some we never even know what happens. Maybe they don't even fill the job. You know, that could be a draw. You know, what have you. But being able to keep a level head and just keeping your emotions in check and keeping in mind what your desired outcome is, I think that is the approach. It was probably relevant today or 5 years ago, but I think it's more relevant today because of COVID, the pandemic, and how it's caused companies to change, but even even a job search, how it changes. You have to stay even keeled. You can't get too up. You can't get too down. We interview different companies are looking for certain skill sets. And I just think bringing this attention forward so you're not getting too up, you're not getting too down, you're keeping a consistent job search moving forward with that eye on the desired outcome and ultimately what you want to land for that ideal job.
Everyone, we're talking with Joel McKenzie this morning about keeping an even-keeled approach to a job search. And you mentioned that a lot of different things can happen as you're on that path. So what's a technique to staying, I'm going to call it staying steady, keeping even-keeled as this whole process of the career search happens?
I think what you have to do is continue to think critically about the opportunity at hand and not get caught up in the emotion of maybe someone reaching out to you that may be in presenting this job to you, or an employer that's excited to meet you. We get excited. I think just remaining in a mindset of thinking critically about that opportunity, what it offers you in regards to professional growth, challenges. If you stay with that, if that technique is thinking critically about what's in front of you, and not just on, you know, a new title or an expanded title or more compensation, thinking critically is going to allow you to stay true to your path here. And that's how you stay even keeled.
Everybody, talking to Joel McKenzie about staying even keeled. So how do you think critically about this when you've just had a big loss or you had a major setback in that potential dream opportunity, whether it's a promotion or it's a new career start? Where do you go to get back to center, let's say?
Yeah, that's critical too. You have to be able to reflect upon why you didn't get that job, but more importantly, draw in the people, you know, those bench of advocates that we know. There might be a person or two on that bench of advocates that can allow you to stay positive. And also think clearly and more of an independent source on what that opportunity was. I think and I've never encouraged people to have a quiet, silent job search. I want people to engage with, you know, the people that they know and trust. And I think that's how you keep centered, is keeping those advocates or the people that listen to you close. That would be my recommendation to help offset that.
I've never heard don't have a silent job search. You've got to be out front with that.
Correct. Often it turns out to be that way, but I don't recommend it too often. I think what happens is the wins, the draws, the losses can really compound. And if job search doesn't, if it's not a couple weeks and say it's several months, that can really wear on someone. And that is where the even keeled comes into play. You can't get too high. You can't get too down. You have to stay even keeled and keep an eye on that desired outcome.
You mentioned earlier staying close to the people in your life that can help you to stay positive. Is this family you're talking about, or is this your bench of advocates or another group of people?
It can be family. I know that my bride of 26 years is someone that I can confide in and who has helped give me that clarity needed, that positivity to keep moving forward. But I also have a few key people that I know I can turn to that I trust to give them honest feedback where I was at. So I don't think it has to be one group or another. I think it's who you can turn to get that, stay positive and maintain that clarity on where you're going.
Everyone, Joe McKenzie with us this morning on New Beginnings. We're talking about maintaining an even-keeled approach to a job search. There was an individual who told me years ago in sales that we bring our total sales into an interview, into a job search, and that the person sitting across the table from you or on the other side of that computer screen in these days can see what's going on with you without you having to say a word, just by what we're projecting as an individual. Do you ascribe to that? Is that factual in your opinion?
Yeah, I think the nonverbal cues people pick up on, and it's even just, you know, how you present, how you, if you're slumped, if you're not, if you're twiddling your thumbs, you're touching your face or you're tapping a pen, all those things will come into play. Those nonverbal communication cues will come into play. And so I do work with clients to make sure that they're in the right mindset, but also giving off those positive nonverbal cues. Yeah, absolutely. It's the case when you're sitting across the table in person, and it's the case when you're on a video camera talking to people in an interview situation.
How does situational awareness play into this, Joe McKenzie?
Well, I think it's probably a technique that a lot of people have used in the past. Situational awareness is just, sometimes we have to stay in tune with how that interview team is asking us questions. We have to be good listeners, but we have to be comfortable enough in our answers to allow us enough brain power to make sure that we stay in that moment, that situational awareness, knowing that if someone asks you a question and you don't quite understand it, the situation awareness mindset would be, can you rephrase that question so I can give you a more focused answer? If someone doesn't have situation awareness, they may try to answer it and don't even realize they're answering the wrong question. So situation awareness is probably something that people have learned in interviews. And that is a major part of staying even keeled, is bringing that situation awareness. There's techniques that we've tried for years. That's what I recommend bringing back to keep an even-keeled job search approach.
And it also seems to me as if just a natural curiosity about the situation that you're trying to put yourself into can play really big in helping you to land that opportunity or not.
Absolutely, Freddie Bell. I think when we bring a curiosity level of, say, a 7 or 8-year-old, where we just say, I'm curious, how does that work? What does that look like? If we bring that to an interview, that means that we're trying to figure out how we integrate into their company, How do we integrate into their solution that they need?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're not making it all about us. We're making it about all of us. And that means here we are sitting at the table, and that high level of curiosity from a job seeker who's being interviewed may separate yourself from someone that has no interest in learning some of the current challenges or what have you. And that's going to be a separator, because employers are going to pick up on that. Because if you're curious on what that challenge is and where did it come from and what are some of the solutions that you're kind of, you're running up against some obstacles, you're already demonstrating to that employer that you're all in with them, right? You're not making it all about you, but you're making about how you could be a part of that team. And that curiosity, that's the core of it. It really is, Freddie. And when you bring curiosity in it, you ask good questions and you are able to unearth some of the things that they're up against, that will definitely keep an even-keeled approach. You'll also learn more about that company and the challenges that that will help you make good decisions in regards to your own career moves.
Great takeaways on this topic. Joe, we got to leave it right there. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
We'll be right back.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, rippleconnects.com.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
It's health time on New Beginnings. A study of Italy-bound Delta Airlines passengers found that a mandatory PCR coronavirus test taken within 3 days of flying weeded out the vast majority of COVID-19 infected travelers. The study also examined data from the airline's program that allows travelers to avoid quarantine, proof of a negative molecular test within 72 hours, and got a rapid test at the airport in Atlanta or New York before departing. Passengers had to undergo another rapid test after landing in Italy. The study was conducted by Mayo Clinic, Delta Airlines, and the Georgia Department of Health. of 9,853 travelers who got a negative coronavirus test within 72 hours of departure, 5 people were discovered to have an active infection either immediately before or after the flight. The flights took place between December 2020 and May 2021. 4 of those 5 passengers were discovered by rapid antigen test, which were confirmed by rapid molecular test before boarding at the airport. They were not allowed to fly. That left 1 passenger who did not test positive after arriving in Italy. The data suggests that even at the highest point of active community infection, a single molecular test performed within 72 hours of departure can decrease the rate of active infection on board a commercial aircraft to a level that is several orders of magnitude below active community infection rates, that according to the study. The addition of other interventions, including universal masking at the airport and onboard aircraft, increase in frequency of air exchanges, and enhanced clearing, physical distancing during deplaning activities, increasing vaccination rates among travelers, and exclusion of symptomatic individuals further enhances safety, according to the study. Delta says it covered the cost of the testing associated with the flights, but had no funding role in the study itself. Mayo Clinic worked with Delta to design the testing program as part of a long-standing partnership. In an article on its news page, Delta says the results show the feasibility of putting in place a testing protocol with meaningful impact. It goes on to say, we are going to live with COVID-19 variants for some time. That according to Henry Ting, the airline's chief health officer, he said in the piece, he says this real-world data, not simulation models, is what governments around the world can use as a blueprint for requiring vaccinations and testing instead of quarantines to reopen borders for international travel. Many international destinations require testing before passengers depart, sometimes in addition to vaccination. But with the exception of flying to Hawaii, there are no mandates for testing in advance of domestic flights. Quoting now, if you're in a confined space for 6-plus hours as an international flight entails, that's going to inherently present more risk than an hour-long flight domestically, that according to the lead author, Dr. Aaron Tandy, an infectious disease physician at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. The study was conducted before the extremely contagious Delta variant became dominant in the United States and included many months when vaccines were not available to the general population. Tandy says the absolute numbers in the research might differ if it were repeated now. Still, he says, the results show that testing would decrease the risk of infection on a plane. Tandy says it's still clear that air travel needs multiple layers of mitigation. He also says reported cases of transmission during flights happened either before masking was universal or when there were lapses in mask wearing, which can include eating and drinking. He says, to me, it's very clear. You should have universal masking on flights, and then testing is another layer to decrease risk. He goes on to say his ideal safe flight would take an extra step, meaning that everyone on board would be vaccinated, tested, and masked. He says, do I want to be on a vaccinated flight? He says, 100%. You're listening to New Beginnings this weekend on your favorite radio station. So happy that you'd be with us today. And as we're talking about your health this weekend, let's move on to talk about exercising. And we've talked about this a lot on New Beginnings. To increase our chances for a long life, we probably should take at least 7,000 steps a day or play sports such as tennis, cycling, and swimming for more than 2.5 hours per week. That according to 2 large-scale new studies of physical activity and longevity. The studies, which together followed more than 10,000 men and women for decades, show that the right types and amounts of physical activity actually reduced the risk of premature death by as much as 70%. But they also suggest that there can be an upper limit to the longevity benefits of being active, and pushing beyond that ceiling is unlikely to add years to our lives, and in extreme cases, it could be detrimental. Plenty of research already suggests that people who are active outlive those who seldom move. But scientists have not yet pinned down precisely how much or little movement might be most strongly associated with greater longevity, nor is it clear whether we can overdo exercise. Those issues lie at the heart of the 2 new studies. The first of the studies published this month in JAMA Network Open centered on steps. Most of us are familiar with activity goals that encourage a certain number of steps every day, often 10,000. Researchers from the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, the CDC, and other institutions wondered if instead smaller step totals might be related to longer lives. And they turned to data gathered in recent years for a large ongoing study of health and heart disease in middle-aged men and women. The researchers pulled records for 2,100 of the participants and noticed a strong association with step counts and mortality. Those men and women accumulating at least 7,000 daily steps when they joined the study were about 50% less likely to have died than those who took fewer steps, 7,000 steps, and the mortality risk continued to drop as people's step totals rose, reaching as high as 70% less chance of early death among those taking more than 9,000 steps. But at 10,000 steps, the benefits, as we mentioned earlier, began to level off. The second study, published in August in Mayo Clinic Proceedings, settled on broadly similar activity levels as best bets for long life. This study involved data from the decades-long Copenhagen City Heart Study, which has recruited tens of thousands of Danish adults since the 1970s, and asked them how many hours each week they play sports or exercise. The researchers focused on 8,600 of the study's Danes who joined in the 1990s, noted their activity habits, and then checked their names against the death records. In the 25 years or so since most had joined, about half had died. But those who reported exercising between 2.5 and 4.5 hours per week when they joined were 40% or so less likely to have died in the interim than less active people. Translating those hours of exercise into step counts, the researchers estimate that people exercising for 2.6 hours a week, or about 30 minutes most days, likely would accumulate around 7,000 to 8,000 steps most days between their exercise and daily life, while those working out for 4.5 hours a week probably would be approaching the 10,000 step threshold most days. At that point, as in the first study, benefits plateaued. But in this study, they then surprisingly declined among the relatively few people who worked out for 10 hours or more during the week. The very active group, people doing 10-plus hours of activity a week, lost about a third of the mortality benefits compared with people exercising for 2.5 to 4.5 hours a week. That, according to James O'Keefe, a professor of medicine at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and an author on the studies. Finally, both of these studies are associational, though, meaning they show that physical activity is linked to lifespan, but not that being more active directly causes lifespans to lengthen. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities. Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. So glad you're with us this weekend. And now we go to AARP Twin Cities, where we find the Associate Director for Community Engagement, Mr. Jay Hapala. We're talking about moving scams this weekend. But first, Jay, how can our audience reach out to you if they have questions about anything that you might be covering this weekend?
Sure. Well, here at AARP, we're working to help people protect their money and live healthy and really get the most out of life as they grow up and get older. So one program that we run is called our Fraud Watch Network. And we do this specifically because when we ask our members, what they always tell us is that they're very concerned about fraud and identity theft and all these scams. So folks can call us and make reports of scams or get some help if they've lost some money. And that phone number is 877-908-3360.
Wow. I know a lot of people have availed themselves to it. I know we get calls here on your behalf and we refer them your way. But it's so interesting that the high level of interest people have in scams. And you have yet another scam that we need to be concerned with, especially with the movement, with the real estate market, people finding more advantaged places to live, moving scams. That's the last place I would have thought, Jay Hapala.
Well, it's the first place for some of these scammers, and I wanted to talk about these kind of moving scams today because I just moved, and I had some interesting experiences during that whole ordeal. So, first of all, the moving industry is probably different than it was the last time most people moved. And there, if you're looking online, you might run into what we call rogue operators. And these are these websites. They take reservations and deposits. Then they show up and pack up people's homes. They just might plain steal the belongings. They might hold that truck full of everything you own hostage and demand money. And then they disappear. And so I have heard some serious horror stories about these situations. I don't want any of your listeners to become the next star in one of those horror stories. So the number one piece of advice I have is that you deal with well-known licensed movers or haulers and not these postings online that advertise the deal of the day and it's too good to be true. I'll say one more thing. Movers have to be registered or licensed. And if you're moving over state lines, it's with the United States Department of Transportation here in Minnesota. You can check with MnDOT, our Department of Transportation, and they keep records on these movers. So make sure that your mover is licensed and has a record of who they are in the first place. And then when you're setting up your move, you want to get multiple in-home estimates, get everything in writing, just be cautious out there. So in my case, I got a pretty good deal. And they broke my record player, but that was the only thing. And there's more. I got more tips for people if you wanted to keep talking.
Oh, my gosh. So you did the number one thing. You saved the music. So that's, at least you were trying to anyway. But I'm really interested in these rogue operators. Were you confronted by any of this, these moving scams as you were trying to move into my own neighborhood, sir?
Yeah, we're neighbors now. Next time we do one of these interviews, we'll have to do it in your home studio.
There you go.
I knew, I listen to the radio. I hear the radio advertisements of these moving companies. So I was pretty confident that these were some legitimate, trustworthy people that we moved with.
So how are things now that you've unpacked? You're getting settled, I hope. How are things right now?
Yeah, well, one thing that's really overwhelming is hooking up all the internet. You know, these people that we bought the house from, they have this kind of a smart house. So, whether it's the TV and the cable and the internet, but over here, it's the garage door that I have to hook up. It's the doorbell, the thermostat. Even our oven in the kitchen has an app that I have to download on my phone. And I am overwhelmed with all these passwords and accounts that I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. So I finally took my own advice and I downloaded a password manager app. So I got to remember the password to that app because that's where all of my passwords are encrypted and stored for myself. So I looked up an article on Consumer Reports and I found an app that I like. So now I put all my passwords in there. It will even generate really complex and lengthy passwords for me. So I don't have to try to remember them. They're all in the app.
What's the name of that password app again?
Well, I'm not going to give people a recommendation. I can't do that for AARP. But what I suggest is that you can look up Consumer Reports, and that's a trustworthy source of information. They compare different products and apps in this case, and folks can make a choice for themselves. But what you don't want to do is just go online and start searching for any old app. Instead, go to Consumer Reports for some advice.
Do you have a final thought for us this weekend, Jay Hapala, who's moved into the new community?
Yeah. So last thing I'll share, I had to change my mailing address too. So that, you know, this is a big, big stressful time. And that Connor has capitalized on people when they're moving because people are stressed out and that kind of short circuits our better judgment. But first of all, when you have to change your address, you can go down to the local post office or make sure you're on the right website, and that's USPS.com. And there are imposters out there, just like I was saying about the password app. So make sure you're on the right website if you're going to do it online. I had to pay $1.05 to do it to the real post office because they charge you to do it online. But when people do change their address, the marketers and scammers can buy that information. So you want to go to the Direct Marketers Association to stop the unwanted mail. So you can choose what kind of advertisements and catalogs you want to receive and the ones you don't. And then it tips you off, because if you start getting all these advertisements and you were supposed to have blocked them, then it tips you off. It might be a scam.
Interesting.
And one more thing.
Yes, sir.
You can get what's called informed delivery from the post office at USPS.com, and it'll show you a picture of your mail every day. So when it arrives in your mailbox, you know if something's missing.
That's really high tech. That's really high tech.
We're living in the future.
The Fraud Watch Network helpline is 877-908-3360. Jay Hapala, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Mr. Bell. See you next time.
Okay. Bye, neighbor.
Bye-bye.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. What a great day we're having, and it's even better now because we're joined by the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Kitty Harris. And Kitty, good morning and welcome back to the program. Glad to have you.
Good morning, Freddie. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Before we get into the details of our conversation today, how can our listeners reach out to you with questions to amplify anything that we share today?
They can give us a call at 612-344-2221, or they can visit us at www.heritagepark.campus.org.
All right. And speaking of that, you have a number of collaborative partners at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and one of them is North Point, and there's a big to-do with North Point coming up real soon.
Yes, absolutely. So one of our on-site partners, North Point Health and Wellness, we are one of three locations that they serve in the North Minneapolis area, is having their annual See, Test, and Treat event on Saturday, October the 2nd, from 8:30 to 2 a.m., and we are so excited to help support this event, as it is very important as we go into Breast Cancer Awareness Month that people are getting checked regularly.
Do we see, how concerned is North Point about this testing program? I know that it seems that people of color are impacted by breast cancer more than most any other group. Tell us how important this is.
You hit it right on the head. The number of women of color who are diagnosed with breast cancer or some form of cancer is proportionally high to the amount of people who actually overall nationwide get tested. And so it's very important that we continue to have these opportunities in communities of color for people to go out to get tested, because treatment is available, prevention is available, our annual mammograms are very available. And so North Point, being a federally qualified clinic, has different opportunities through the SAGE program, through Hennepin County, through partnerships with other collaborative partners in the community to offer free mammogram services, not just once a year for Breast Cancer Month, but ongoing services. So we really encourage people to come out and get tested. Again, the event is Saturday, October the 2nd. It'll be going from 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. And not only will we have testing available for breast cancer screening, but they'll also have other testing available, as well, of course, as COVID-19 vaccines available as well.
Everyone, Kitty Harris with us, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And when you say come out, I'm assuming, and I don't want to assume, that you're saying come to the great room at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center for this big testing event.
I am so glad that you asked that, because this year this event will actually be held at North Point's main campus, which is 1313 Penn Avenue North. And so although they do have a clinic on site this year, we will be having it again at 1313 Penn Avenue North in Minneapolis. That is their original location. So a lot of people know North Point on Penn. So we want you to come over to the Penn location. Like I said, there'll be lots of community vendors that'll be out there, lots of great information and resources. Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center will have a table there to provide more information about what we do at our center, but we will be at their main location for this event.
Is it important for people to register, or what is the protocol for being a part of this event?
No registration is required. People can just show up. If they want more information specifically about the vendors, they can call North Point directly at 612-543-2500 and get more information about the other vendors and services that will be there. But they can just come day of and utilize the services that we have there.
I know there's some people who maybe still be concerned, and rightfully so, about social distancing and so forth with the prevalence of COVID-19. How can you help people to feel comfortable about coming out to an event like this, Kitty?
Well, of course, with North Point being a health and wellness center and a clinic that deals with this every day, they have all of the safety precautions in place to make sure that this event can be held and held with social distance in place. There, of course, will be masking as you utilize the different vendors that are there and different sanitation stations that are there. And again, the COVID vaccines are also available, which is another way that people can protect themselves in the community.
And again, this is no cost?
This is no cost to the community.
All right. Do you have a final thought for our audience this morning, Kitty?
I would just encourage people as we move into Breast Cancer Awareness Month, everyone has someone in their family that could potentially be affected by breast cancer. So just keep that in mind that, yes, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but you should be getting checked on a regular and getting full panel screenings whenever you do your annual checkups with your doctors. So get checked early and often, because prevention is key.
All right. And again, if our listeners would like more information, how can they reach out to you directly?
They can give us a call at 612-344-2221. 2221. That's the main number for our Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And so I can answer any questions, and our staff will route them as needed.
All right. That's Kitty Harris with us, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And this is New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Now today I'm speaking about a journey we will make together in the coming weeks, but don't worry. You don't have to go outside. Ash Wednesday is only 10 days away, and that will mark the beginning of the Lenten season. This annual tradition of the Christian calendar is essentially a pilgrimage or spiritual journey, and those who choose to take the trip will travel together, not alone. This Lenten pilgrimage is a community experience, not a solitary one. Well, first of all, what is a pilgrimage? Someone asked me that this week. A pilgrimage is a journey, often into an unknown or foreign place, where a person goes in search of new or expanded meaning about their self, others, nature, or a higher good. It can lead to a personal transformation, after which the pilgrim returns to their daily life. Pilgrimages frequently involve a journey or a search of moral or spiritual significance. Typically, it is a journey to a shrine or other location of importance to a person's beliefs and faith. Although sometimes it can be a metaphorical journey into someone's own beliefs. And such is our tradition in our greater Unity community. Charles Fillmore often spoke of this Lenten journey, that it was a movement not in space, but a movement in mind. It was moving with ideas in mind, from a more limited understanding to a greater comprehension. This Lenten journey of 2021 may prove to be a great opportunity to find the much called for unity that can supersede the divisions so prevalent in the world today. Many think this goal is almost impossible at this time in our world. Saint Francis claimed, "Start by doing what's necessary. Then do what's possible. And suddenly, you're doing the impossible." As my friend in New York, Patsy Scala, noted, when we do the necessary simple things with love, grace comes. Unity is established, and soon we are doing what the world deemed impossible. In the words of Jesus, all things are possible for God. That is a consciousness of oneness or unity. We should ask, but how do we get to this state of mind, this consciousness of unity, and transcend our boundaries created by ego, opinion, or the attitude, hey, it's my way or the highway. Transcendence is possible, though. Jesus gave us a formula in John's Gospel. Many limit the idea to simply his experience of death and resurrection. But I think it speaks to each one of us and our own pilgrimage. The words he spoke, there is no greater love, which is unity, than this: to lay down one's life or ego for one's friends. Did you hear that? There is no greater love, which is unity, than to lay down one's ego,
one's limited sense of life, to put it aside for the benefit, the welfare of one's friends. Well, I want to give you some examples of either willingness or lack of willingness to transcend the boundaries created by our individual egos day by day. How we define ourselves, the groups to which we claim to be a part, the roles that we establish for ourselves in our lives. We can go beyond these barriers if we choose. And my premise is, until we go beyond these barriers, we cannot achieve the power of unity or truly coming together for a common good. I'm going to invite you to recall our lesson of January 24th, holding the high watch. Now, that was not long ago, and it is recorded in our archives on YouTube. So if you didn't hear it, you have the opportunity of going back and watching it. Holding the high watch. We can't get to the big picture, that high watch perspective, if we are stuck in a limited self-identity. Whether it is something like, I'm not good enough, I don't have the experience to do this work, or I am a teacher, a hero, a healer, a fixer, a fighter, etc. Or perhaps you see yourself in the role of a caregiver. Or perhaps I am a Republican, Democrat, Independent, and many other examples. Now, we can choose our team to play a game or attain a goal as long as we realize we are much more than any one game or one purpose. Emily Cady wrote in our foundational textbook for unity, Lessons in Truth, Beloved, as surely as you and I live, it is all one and the same truth. There may be a distinction, but it is without difference. Do you hear that? There may be a distinction, but it is without difference. In other words, we all live our lives filled with distinctions of how we hold our identity separate or in distinction to others. But Dr. Cady reminds us, in truth, there is no difference among us. That is a powerful idea. From this higher perspective, distinctions or divisions offer no real difference in truth.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.